Actually, you know what? I would love like a hot water, but if you could just let it sit so it cools, I just need to know that it was once hot. Sorry, I'm the worst.
Hello, Schitt's Creek fans. Welcome to another episode of Schitts and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're covering everything in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
I'm good. I just enjoyed listening to, if we had a blooper reel for this, you would have heard many openings.
At least five.
Oh, I think six. So. That were just a total and complete hot mess.
Don't know. We do this all the time. We open it. You joked that it opens the same way every time.
Oh, yeah.
And I could not keep track of what I was saying.
New year, new you in 2022.
That's right.
Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone.
Uh-huh.
We're getting it started off on a great note. Ready for the challenges that 2022 throws at us.
We are recording and releasing this on January 1st of 2022. And regular listeners will remember that it was a year ago that we started this up after our unplanned hiatus.
Oh, yeah. COVID.
And I think, you know, we're not here to pat ourselves on the back, but we didn't miss a release day all of 2021.
Wow.
It got pretty close sometimes.
We did not. Please know that I just show up for this. I just show up. I don't do anything else besides watch an episode and show up.
I mean, I barely.
It happens because someone else forces me to sit down and show up in our closet on Saturday mornings because we can't pull it together to do it any sooner than the day it's released.
Nope, there have been
so
many.
Cheers to us.
There have been many times when this podcast just almost ended. And we still have a year plus left.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, that's just because we're lazy and we put out an episode every other week.
Right.
So for this whole year, we're going to get through season four. We'll get all the way through season five and more than halfway through the final season.
Oh, man.
But this will tip into 2023.
I bet our three listeners are so excited about that.
They're thrilled. They're like, oh, great, I get to keep listening for another year plus. Can't wait. But what are we here to talk about? We're here to talk about episode 10 of season 4, Baby Sprinkle.
Aw, cute.
I shouldn't have started with the name of the episode because I mentioned last time that we would share our entire ranking list with the audience. I think I might do that sooner than before the end of season 4 because I'm afraid I might forget.
Oh, you couldn't even remember the opening today.
I know.
So chances of you remembering to post our ratings.
Yeah, the chances of me remembering in a month to post our rankings aren't good.
Rankings. I said ratings.
And it's the same deal.
Okay.
But any gentle prodding by the listeners is helpful. So I think that's great. If I forget to post.
Yeah.
And I think I'll put it on our Facebook page and I guess Instagram. I'll try and do that too.
Because I'm sure everybody goes everywhere to get more from us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Once every other week is not enough.
Right.
So be on the lookout for those. All right. So we're here again talking about Baby Sprinkle. The original air date is March 27th of 2018. This is the final episode directed by Bruce McCulloch. There are three more episodes this season, but he will not be directing them. Directed half of the episodes, but this is it for him. I'm going to say his best is Open Mic.
Yeah.
I mean, the most famous of the episodes that he directed was Open Mic. And I think even at the time, I was a little bit, not surprised that he directed it, but just, I guess, surprised as to how big it is. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like one of those episodes where it would be like, well, maybe Dan directed it or just someone we haven't heard from before, mm-hmm. just for how different right. the episode looked and felt and yeah. just, I guess, how popular it is as yeah. well. So I guess we're going to wish him the best on the new season of The Kids in the Hall, which apparently is starting this year after it ended in 1995.
So
good luck. Yeah. And this episode is written by David West Reed, who we have heard of from quite a bit and yes. will continue hearing from through the entirety of the series. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's get into it.
Let's go.
Let's go.
To your favorite Sprinkle. Place.
Well, I don't like how I am now branded as a Rose Apothecary hater.
Well,
on
you
this
kind
podcast.
Of complain about it a lot. We were just, you get upset when they're there.
We were there
too much.
For a lot through the first half of the season.
Half of the season?
Yeah.
Oh.
The first half of season yeah. four.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I was thinking series. I'm having trouble
oh,
with
no,
words,
no, no, no.
rating.
I mean, you know, it was the general store. We were there a couple times buying toilet paper and wine.
Mm-hmm.
So, it appears to be a slow morning oh. at the apothecary, as usual.
Yeah, he's organizing and putting mm-hmm. out new products, I guess.
Yeah.
New merchandise.
Is this the first time we've seen just David working without Patrick around? Like, it almost seems like Patrick always seems to open the store.
True, yeah, but we don't really know that it's in the morning. Well, no. Well,
I don't know.
We don't really know. I was going to say maybe we do, but then I was like, no, just based on Jocelyn's
attire. Nope, Jocelyn's not indicating
I don't think we can...
time of day yeah. or anything. With
although
the way
she did say it's tonight. They're her. So, yeah, I don't know. But he does appear to be there on his own. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Patrick, of course, is working at the apothecary, but isn't he also still doing his...
Hey, good question.
Side... well, not really his side business, his main business. I don't, like...
out of Ray's?
Yeah.
I don't know how any of that's being handled.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Anymore. Maybe he's in the back setting up the espresso machine. I'd like to think...
No,
oh, wait,
that
sorry.
Didn't
we're
happen
getting
yet.
Ahead. Oh.
See? Oh.
How dare we go out of
I
order?
I know, right?
All right,
it's
okay.
Mess everything up.
All right, but you're right in that Jocelyn shows up.
Yes. Oh, and I'd also like to point out he's wearing his Wild Aloof Rebel shirt.
Okay.
Which is like super...
a pretty famous.
Famous, yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like people appreciate that shirt and like it.
Well, if what he's wearing is famous, I don't know how to describe what Jocelyn's wearing.
Oh, she's in her robe.
She's in a robe.
Maybe her PJs? I'm not quite sure.
Like a robe slash flower sweatshirt combo?
Yeah, it should have kitty cats on it.
It should. Maybe yeah. she hasn't leaned completely into... Jocelyn at this point, and this we've talked... like, she has now become a caricature of a Schitt's Creek resident, a crazy cat lady, and just your stereotypical... pregnant late. Like, I don't know what they're doing, and I'm yeah. not saying that I am out on Jocelyn at this point, but she never gets it together, I don't think, again.
Yeah.
Like, this yeah. is who she is
now. I've said since the beginning yeah. just how much her character kind of evolved and changed throughout the series. In the beginning, she was very put together, like, right. goofy, but, like... went to work, held down a teaching job,
yeah,
seemed...
right. As quirky as any Schitt's
yes.
Creek resident,
yes.
sure. But no, she's become very frumpy and just... it's very strange because... and I'll ask you this, and I'm not asking you to spoil anything that happens oh. for, you know, the next 2+ seasons, but mm-hmm. does she even talk about teaching anymore? Like, I feel like that's something that they're like, yeah, we don't need to
well,
worry
I'm
about
assuming,
that.
Well, I'm assuming, I mean,
Alexis
maybe... yeah.
gone.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I'll be honest about that. Okay. I'd have to, you know, like, as we're watching down the line. But, I mean, maybe she takes a leave of absence to care for... I mean, obviously, she oh. would get a maternity leave.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, and even towards the end that her baby is still young.
A baby.
Right. A baby.
A baby.
So,
right.
Yeah, so I'm just assuming that... technically, she shouldn't be on leave yet.
No.
It's the fall.
We don't know what,
right?
we don't know what day of the weekend is.
It
could be a
Christmas.
Saturday.
I don't, yeah.
It could be a Saturday. We don't
know.
Yeah, but she just, yeah. she's be, she becomes a character, and I think it's safe to say has become a character that I'm not all that interested in anymore.
But every once in a while, though, but she does kind of, as we get into the things that happen in season five,
okay,
she starts to become a little more active, a little more put together, I guess.
Oh,
a little bit.
I'll be interested to see, because I don't remember it happening. So, all right. Well, I don't want to get too sidetracked, especially talking about stuff that hasn't happened yet.
Right.
But
she is clearly distressed as she arrives in her robe and flowers sweatshirt. Mm-hmm.
David's trying to humor her, trying to just answer her questions and kind of calm her down as she is at her wit's end. Because we basically find out that her sister can't come, and her sister was planning, or supposed to be planning, her baby shower.
Right, because of her husband's heart.
Right.
Which we've heard mention of, like Roland has mentioned his brother-in-law
having a bad heart.
He mentioned and talked about him in the Carl's funeral episode.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Right?
Okay.
I think that's who he mentioned.
All right. Huh.
I could be wrong. I might not be remembering that correctly. I can't look back at my notes. I realized, when was it? Last week, I went to look back for something, and I'm in my second notebook of notes, and I don't know where my first notebook of notes is, so I can't look back.
You're going through at least three of these notebooks, by the end of this.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering, it doesn't seem like her sister did much planning before she could even not show up. I don't know what...
Maybe she was bringing everything with her.
Driving in a van full of balloons and baby pinatas or whatever. Okay.
Let's give her sister some credit.
Okay, great. So now she has to throw her own baby shower.
Yes. Which she quickly turns into trying to, like, slyly, but not so slyly, try to get David to... volunteer.
She knows what to do. She knows exactly what
she's
doing.
Yeah, she really is talking him up, his eye for decorating, his flair for planning and taking care of things. Mm-hmm. And
Roland's no help trying to class up the place with his Pelican Brief poster.
Right. Yeah, his posters.
Another Julia Roberts movie mention.
Oh, yes.
Hmm. Okay. So David eventually sort of just agrees to help.
Right, like, sure, I could help you out, but...
But it's a crazy
whirlwind.
Was
not anticipating as much help as she needed.
No, not at all. Right. Because even, like, I think the last thing she says to him is that it is tonight.
Right.
And leaves the store, and he's just left alone to say, what just happened?
Well, yeah, and he says, you know, where's the venue and everything? And she said at her house, and he's like, are you married? Are we married to that? Right. Yeah, which I thought was funny.
Yeah.
I love
how in this episode...
He has to get to work.
It's made very clear how just unfamiliar with baby showers that David is. I find that really funny. Not that he should know anything about it.
How familiar would you be with baby showers?
I know, but he's more than happy to jump in and try and... Not more than happy, but he's really... He knows how to plan things. He knows how to put events to a certain degree together. And I'm not saying that this ever would have happened to him in life, but... And I'm not saying he should know anymore. I'm just saying that that's one of the better parts of this episode.
Yeah.
It's just that he doesn't understand who's paying for it, what happens, like that there are games or anything like that. So.
Yeah.
But now let's go to the cafe.
Yes.
Do you find it odd that in this episode, we're not even at the motel yet? Like we have two rather lengthy scenes before we're even at the motel.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yep.
So,
Twyla and Alexis are discussing singles week plans.
Right. Yes. Because don't forget, that's a thing that is happening. That's a thing that this season is building toward.
Yes.
And it's this bizarre haggling that's happening where Alexis is setting the prices.
Well, right.
At Twyla's
Cafe.
Well,
she's trying to set like the deals, like the you know special singles week deals at the cafe, and her deals don't make any sense.
No, her deals are for singles,
right?
And Twyla's idea is, why don't we offer half off for couples? That incentivizes people to get
together.
Yes, and she finally decides, how about this? if you're a couple, you get two dinners for the price of one, which is exactly what Twyla's been saying the whole time.
Right.
And Twyla just kind of nods and is like, what a great idea, Alexis.
but their conversation is quickly interrupted.
Because
a group of Alexises come in.
It's really great.
Yeah.
What would you... Because, you know, you're very into fashion, I'm going to say. What do you call this look? Like, this, bohemian, like, big, giant,
floppy hats. It's an Alexis-y kind of look,
right,
still.
And, like, flowy things. I just didn't know if there was a name for this style.
If there is, I don't know what it is.
All right. But,
bohemian, I don't know.
There are four of them?
Yes.
I love their names. So Claire's the only one. First of all, Claire's the only one given lines. Right. So she's the only one credited in the episode. And as usual, I did the least amount of research possible, but I could not find the names of her three friends, like the actress who played them.
Oh, yeah. I feel like it was such a quick look. Like we really don't even get much of a look at them.
They're always just in the background, like slightly out of focus.
Yeah.
Claire shows up with her friends.
Albany, yeah.
Jitney?
Yes.
And Canyon?
Yes.
Great.
Oh, totally.
The Schitt's Creek Wiki, no offense to whoever runs that, because good on you for running that. They put down that her friend's name was Candy. And even in my notes, I was like, that can't be right.
Yeah, it's Canyon.
Yeah. So let's talk about Claire real quick, and then we'll get into what's happening in this scene. Claire is played by Megan Rath. She got her start in the 2001 movie Lost and Delirious, which I've seen and is a pretty good movie. But she's just credited as like friend or friend three or something like that. Some shows that she's been in recently, Supergirl, the reboots of Hawaii Five-0 and Magnum P.I., which I was unaware that they rebooted.
Oh, Hawaii Five-0 has been
I know
for
that.
A while.
I meant Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they rebooted that. She's been in several episodes of New Girl and Flashpoint to round out the shows that we've discussed before. But she might best be known for the main character in the show Being Human, which is an Americanized version of a British show about, and I'll always remember saying this to you. I was watching the British version of the show and you walked in the room and you said, "What is this show about?" And I said, "It's about a ghost and a werewolf and a vampire who all live in the same home together." And you just waved your arm dissuasively and left the room.
Yeah, it sounds like something I
would
do.
Yeah, so she plays the ghost in that show. And it was on for 4 seasons and ended in 2014. But she has a ton of stuff. And I'm sure, you said she reminded you of somebody or that you've known.
I said she reminded me of, and ironically, her name is Megan, right?
Yeah.
I said she reminds me a little bit of Meghan Markle. Like just her looks and her long, her dark hair, her face. Yeah.
Very much
reminded me of her.
Exactly. Yep. Yes. So this is an interesting interaction here. I mean, first of all, Alexis is caught completely off guard.
Yes. And not expecting these.
Embarrassed, kind of. She's able to slide right back into her old ways and how she would talk to these girls.
Yep.
But it almost seems like she kind of just wants. She doesn't seem happy to see them, let's say.
Yeah. Well, slightly embarrassed about. Yeah, definitely. Because she was like, "Oh my gosh, this is where you live. I didn't remember because I completely forgotten about
it's
you."
It's like I completely forgot about you, which is horrible. I love how she says that she's completely obsessed with Twyla's look.
Small town waitress.
She looks like just like a small town waitress.
Yeah.
And she wants hot water.
She orders a hot water, but it has to she needs to let it sit until it cools. She just needs to know that it was once hot.
Yes. And then she ends by saying, "I'm the worst." I love how she says that several times to people.
Yeah.
Just how she ends her really horrible, whatever she says. It's always bad. She's a really, really terrible person.
Oh, yeah.
But I love this sort of I don't want to say understanding that she's a terrible person, but just dismissing it or excusing it by saying, "I know I'm terrible."
Mm-hmm.
So I love in this how to Claire, Albany is like the villain of their friends, or I guess the one that they just pick on all the time.
Yeah,
she's always
like
talking about. She says Albany literally makes me want to kill myself.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah, but as they chat and not really catch up, but you know, just have like little conversation and everything. She invites Alexis to join them at some random bar to have some random drinks.
Exactly. Yes.
To which, there's only one bar, basically. And then as they're sort of getting ready to wrap up their whole conversation and the girls are ready to leave, Twilight, of course, shows up with her mug of hot water and she's like, no, I didn't order that.
She's just like, sweetie, I didn't order that. And then I love how she turns around and goes, Albany, I was sitting there.
Right. Which she didn't even sit down when she came in.
Of course not.
So yeah.
It's really great. I would just love to hear from Albany. And again, her name is Albany, but it's just that it's constantly pronounced Albany. And I thought that was really funny. So very nice. Super fun. And again, just a really nice thing to, not that we're unaware of what Alexis was like, but this gives us a really good idea of exactly
of what
she
would have been like with all her friends.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All their floppy hats.
Yep.
So now, this wasn't alluded to like last episode or anything, that Moira and Johnny are doing research into how to hold singles events.
I guess. Okay. Yeah.
And because the funny thing is, again, I've said this before, not having seen these episodes in quite a while, I thought this part.
Did it look like they were at the town hall?
No.
Because I thought it kind of reminded me of that.
They just dressed the town hall differently. I thought this was from a completely different episode. I didn't remember why they were there or anything like that. Just trying to remember what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they are at a place called Madly.
Yes. Stevie's happy to be at the motel with Roland.
Of course. Yes. in order to do research of how to, I don't know, like create events or games or something for singles.
Yeah. And they meet Ricky, who is the lead intimacy coordinator.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Ricky. Ricky is played by Corinne Coslow. She's been in an episode of The X-Files, Outer Limits, and a semi-regular role on the new Anne of Green Gables show, Anne with an E. I know we've talked about that before. She also used to do a lot of voice work. Madeline.
Oh.
Babar.
Oh.
Rin Tin Tin.
Oh, wow.
And a show I remember my sister watching back in the late 80s called Beverly Hills Teens.
Oh, okay.
And Beverly Hills Teens, I looked into it because, of course, this is the research I'm going to do on a show called Beverly Hills Teens.
Mm-hmm.
I assumed it was a cartoon, like, capitalizing off of 90210.
Mm-hmm.
No, it predated 90210 by, like, 3 years. But it was the same thing. It was just these spoiled rich kids. Ooh. And it was a cartoon about them.
Oh, fun.
I was surprised to see that she did not do a voice in Franklin. I was really waiting for that sort of connection.
That would have made sense. Yeah.
She's currently in the TV series Moonshine, which we may talk about later.
Oh.
But the most interesting thing was that she played a dog show judge in Best in Show.
Oh.
So these three have all worked together before.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
So, what does Madly
stand
for?
Yes. Mature adults dating lovers. Yes.
Yeah, which is really great. I love how Johnny asks that.
Right.
And she's like, you should play, you should come in, because they just want to observe.
Mm-hmm.
But Ricky's like, no, come on in. Right. And you can sort of like, wouldn't it
immerse
be better
yourself
if you're immersed in this? There's a game we play called A Lock and Key.
Yes.
So you guys should just start mingling and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And Moira's kind of into the idea.
Johnny is not.
No.
Johnny's like, I already have my right. match, my perfect match, yes. whatever.
But Moira's like, this could be fun.
Yeah.
Let's just go and do it.
Moira's... Oh, and I love when Ricky's like, don't you want to grant access to your most intimate selves? And Johnny's like, no.
It's really great. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So now, again, still not at the motel. Mm-hmm. I forgot that there was all this stuff.
Yeah.
So now we're back at Rose Apothecary. Yes. And
David is explaining to...
Yeah, to Patrick.
To Patrick, what happened.
What's happening here. Yeah. I love his line that Jocelyn came in looking like Adam Sandler on the red carpet.
Yeah.
Nice, like, Sandler yeah. slam in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of this episode.
Yeah, but he's basically explaining to Patrick how she really needed... help.
Yes.
Like right. she's a, you know, kind of a little bit of a mess and she really needed help. So he started to talk about some of the things he had planned. He was going to get some of Heather's cheeses.
Yep.
And bring some wine. And, you know, it sounds like it's, and it's, which is interesting because when they, oh, nope, never mind. Thinking ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did ourselves no favors.
I know.
We did ourselves no favors having a special Christmas episode.
Yeah, no, because now I was going to reference something that happened as far as prepping for the Christmas celebration.
But he's under the impression, when he's talking about all this stuff, he is under the impression that Jocelyn is paying for
all of this. Right. And then Patrick is kind of the one that's like, oh, that sounds really expensive. Like, you do realize that we are
that the person who throws this
has to pay.
And he's like, well, I'm not throwing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was like, I was forced into it. It's not even her first baby.
Yes, right. And I love how Patrick is like, well, what did you say? And he said, all I said was, I'll take care of it, which means I will take care of it.
Yeah, but I love, too, that Patrick kind of says, oh, Patrick's very knowledgeable about this. Because he's like, oh, well, then it's more of a sprinkle then. to which, of course, David is like, what's a sprinkle? He has no idea.
Oh, and if people don't know... sprinkle is a baby shower for not your first baby, which I had never heard that term before this show. And as you brought before, I'm as or possibly more ignorant than David is as far as baby showers go.
Yeah, I don't really know how many people. I feel like I don't know that I've gone to sprinkles for people that have had babies in close proximity.
So it's probably a thing for if your oldest child's 30 years old.
Well, right.
And now you're having another
one. But I don't,
one.
But maybe, I mean, maybe there's people that have a sprinkle per se, like with each child. But I feel like often, anything I've really experienced is, you know, it would be somebody who basically had a child. There's a long amount of time has passed. I mean, not super long, but long enough that you would have like gotten rid of all the baby stuff. And then you need baby items.
Right.
You know, like you literally have nothing left.
Because that's the purpose of a baby shower, right?
Is to be able to get
here's a car seat and here's a giant diaper tower or whatever they make.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that like just rolled up diapers like in a giant tower?
It's a cake usually, but yeah.
All right.
You got it. Wow. You know more than you're letting on.
I've seen pictures.
Oh, okay.
So.
But I feel like I don't know. Maybe there are people that with each baby, even if it is in a close proximity, that have a sprinkle.
I mean, though, would you agree with David's statement that that's the stupidest fucking thing he's ever heard?
I don't know.
To have a minor baby shower?
But there's stuff you need.
Yes,
like, you know, there's always stuff you need when you are having a baby. I mean, but it's kind of like, you know, people help you out with the big items the first time around. So I really don't think it makes sense unless there has been a time passage that means that you need those big items again.
And knowing Roland, like, first of all, if they had a car seat for Mutt, it's long since gone.
Oh, of course.
But probably he just stacked them up on some phone books and put a seatbelt on them.
Oh, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what they're there to do. I love how David has all these ideas about fish and soft cheese.
Well, yeah, he's talking about all kinds of things that, like, pregnant women aren't allowed to eat.
Right.
Like, you're not supposed to eat, you know. Because Patrick's like, I'm not so sure she can even eat that. Right. You know, so he's planning a menu of food items and wines and things like that, that obviously, you know, and Patrick's kind of like, don't you think you should be, you know, planning a menu for the person you're throwing the baby shower for? And yeah, then he ends with, this is why I hate babies. Yes.
But it does make sense, because in all the events that David has probably planned, they're probably not about the person whatsoever. They're probably all sort of the same thing. Just
right. And it's about appearance and stuff like that necessarily.
Exactly. Yeah. The menus are probably all the same. It's not personalized at all.
Yeah.
And certainly has nothing to do with babies.
Yeah.
But now let's finally go to the motel. Not inside. Let's just hang out in the parking lot for a while.
Right.
Because Claire and her friends are doing what so many other people do online, which I find great, is to just find the location of the motel and take pictures outside with it in the background. Mm-hmm. And I really love that they're doing that.
Uh-huh.
But Alexis is walking home.
Yes.
And she runs into them.
Yeah.
And again, it's another one of those things where it's like, why are you here? And she's like, well, I'm just staying here temporarily and everything
and
like that.
Did I? And I could have misheard.
Yeah.
Because again, like we said, we don't rewind. We don't usually go back. We don't pause unless it's necessary.
Yeah.
But not a lot. Did they say they're staying at an Airstreams up the road?
Yes.
Is that a version of like an Airbnb, I'm guessing?
I don't know, because, yeah, I don't know if it's real or not, because I picked up on that too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't think the term Airbnb is like copyrighted and you can't use that in your show. So I don't know if it's something that maybe it's a Airbnb thing for the mega wealthy, or maybe it's a made up term. So it does seem like something different. I wasn't 100% sure, but I picked up on it too.
It's when I do a quick Google as we're talking.
Sure, which, no, that's what people love.
Is always great to do. It when it says Airstream, it's like showing a
it's almost like a
camper or an RV,
right? Like
kind
one
of
that
situation.
You may or may not be cooking meth in, right? So that's an Airstream. So I feel like it's almost like an, oh, Airbnb is for the common folk, so we shouldn't use that.
Yeah, look, like Airstream.com is, basically
it's
looks
those,
like a metal
like a silver,
RV.
Like the one that they would go around in I Love Lucy, if people have seen those episodes.
Oh,
yes.
I have not.
No.
But, well, that looks like fun. Let's stay in an Airstream the next time we go somewhere.
I don't know if you could stay in them.
I think they're trying
to sell them to you.
They're staying in an Airstream up the road.
So you think that they're staying in basically an RV. I think it's
like they have one and they're bringing
along? No.
Like Claire has a little like RV that she drives around?
No. I think it's just something that the writers of the show, David West Reed, decided not to use Airbnb because that sounds too common.
Right.
So he was just going to call it an Airstream, but it would be the same thing.
Well, yeah.
Like an Airbnb.
But then why would you use the name of something that's like a real thing?
Maybe David West Reed was unaware that was a real thing like we were.
I don't know. All right.
I don't know. Or
well,
maybe
at any
they,
rate,
or
that's
maybe
where they're
just
staying. It looks really nice in the picture.
I know, but do you?
There's a Pottery Barn special edition.
All right.
People
cannot see that you're showing me your phone, but
I'll post the picture on Facebook.
Can you do this? Or maybe I'll do this then? Because I want you to try and visualize Claire in that setting. And those two things don't go together.
But I'm just wondering, though, maybe this is like cool and trendy.
Oh, you might be right.
Right? Like, that's what I'm thinking. It certainly looks fancier than an RV that you'd cook meth in. There's a Pottery Barn version. Like, right. Not that Pottery Barn is, like, super high-end, yes. But I'm wondering if that is, like, a cool, trendy thing.
Okay. Here's what we have to do.
I don't think we need to do anything. I think we should move on.
No, I'm just saying, listeners help us settle debates before when we're unclear on things.
Yeah, they probably know better than we do.
Right, exactly. So please let us know, is an Airstream just another word for an Airbnb, or do you think that Claire's living in a trailer? Let us know.
Well, when you say it that way, at any rate,
this is where Alexis sort of sees a very clear, for the first time, path out of Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying this is what she's been working toward, but
it's an opportunity that's falling, kind of falling into her lap.
I mean, she went back to high school for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she
got
went
her
into
certificate.
Community college to mm-hmm. get that 3-month certificate for a reason. Like, and now she's given this opportunity because
right. She has a Claire's, job.
Yeah, Claire says that
it's like a junior PR with like room to move mm-hmm. up the
yes.
ladder.
Yes.
Although
exactly.
Albany has to get fired first.
Right. I just have to fire Albany first. Yeah. And she says that it's not a big deal. She can stay at her dad's old place.
Well, she also tells her she can think about it. She has to know by 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Yes. Right.
But then, she discusses how she can stay at her dad's old place with his ex-wife?
With his ex-wife, right. Who's cool. She's 3 years younger than
them. 2 years younger than them,
2 years younger
than them.
And just really chill. And I love how she goes, I think my dad started a new family. Really great. And I love Claire. I'm not saying I want some like Schitt's Creek spinoff with Claire and her friends, but anytime she talks, it's so great.
Yeah.
I love it when she's talking about Albany again and she goes, I can't wait to fire her. I'm her best friend. It's so great.
Yeah.
So now we go back to the
Madley
Rec Center, Madley, wherever this
call it
is
Madley.
Taking place.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd like to think that this is happening upstairs and downstairs. Ted's dancing with old ladies.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
So Moira is having a conversation with a much
cute,
older man, I'm going to say.
A cute little... He's a
sure.
widower, correct? Right? He mentions
yes.
his... Yeah, like yeah. his wife is deceased. He's super cute.
He's very cute, yes. He's giving her a lot of information, a lot of personal mm-hmm. information.
Yeah, and she is not having it.
She gives him advice about, like, not saying things like that to people
right.
when you first meet
yeah.
them.
Do we have any information on him?
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it's kind of sad because he is... credited as single number one.
Aww.
There's no single number two given credit
oh,
in this at
that's
all.
Interesting.
So they don't even give this poor character a name. His real name is Ian Clark.
Okay.
He's a character actor who's appeared in TV and film since the late 70s.
Okay, yeah.
Shows we've talked about before that he's been in is the RoboCop TV series. He's been in a couple episodes of the Goosebumps TV series,
oh, okay.
Paradise Falls, Rookie Blue, Saving Hope, Good Witch, and a bunch of episodes of Anne with an E.
Oh.
And he was also the principal.
So he's hanging out with Ricky.
Right. Yes, exactly. And mm-hmm. he was also the principal in Cruel Intentions 2.
Oh.
So not the original.
Yeah.
And that's funny because we were just talking about Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Not on a podcast, though.
No, no,
in our
I'm just saying in
earlier.
Our personal lives. We talk a lot about Sarah Michelle Gellar.
No, we don't.
And occasionally Ashley Simpson. All right, so Johnny, though.
He's flirting away with Charlene.
I'd like to give Johnny some credit here. I don't think he's flirting. Charlene, though, is having the time of her life.
Yeah.
I don't know what number glass of wine this is for Charlene.
Oh, yeah, she
but
is.
But she thinks everything he's saying is funny.
Oh, she wants to come stay at the motel.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Her key is in his lock. So they wear the keys around their neck and the locks around their neck.
Yes.
And then they can
right.
see if the lock fits.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just cute how they're like, stuck together.
But Moira's a little uncomfortable
oh, yeah,
with their exchange.
Yep.
And Ricky kind of intervenes and tells her she needs to look for her match, whether
right.
it's for research or for love.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I love Ricky.
So let's talk about Charlene,
mm-hmm.
who is given a name. Allegra. What a cool first name that mm-hmm. is, unless mm-hmm. I'm saying that wrong. Allegra Fulton. She's appeared in TV and movies since 1984 when she popped up in RoboCop, the TV series. Oh. She's also been in that show Puppets Who Kill, which we've talked about multiple times. Mm-hmm. And a listener told me that they've seen that show.
Yes.
Degrassi, The Next Generation, Suits, Working Moms, The Good Doctor, and Chapelwaite. And she's also currently in the series Moonshine with Ricky.
Oh.
So now let's jump back to Jocelyn's.
Yes.
And I love how...
she's already gotten a jump start on her own event.
Streamers. I mean, she went in there looking for streamers. So right. The streamers are up. These do not look like streamers that David would sell in his store.
No, they're not like black balloons. Or white. It looks like something you buy in like the dollar store.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And I love how she's giving him sort of some instruction as to what's happening mm-hmm. and what should go where and everything like that. And the line where under his breath he says, oh, we could just move those balloons to the garbage, mm-hmm. I think is really great.
Yeah. Yeah, so she's kind of put, decorations and balloons and stuff up mm-hmm. all over.
Can Roland we talk about the up. Diaper game?
Yeah, Roland shows up with the scary baby pinata.
It's very scary.
Yeah, that's super scary.
Yeah.
To which they say they can't smash a baby with a stick at this event. I forget if it's David or Patrick that says that. I'm assuming David.
It's probably David. Yeah. I don't know, because Patrick's having kind of a lot of fun with this. Every now and then you see him smiling mm-hmm. and sort of laughing at all this interaction. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that baby pinata is the weirdest thing. Because at first, I remember seeing it for the first time and going, well, did they just put a baby's head on a... some sort of other pinata, but no.
It's a like full out
crawling baby.
Yeah,
with a diaper, mm-hmm. but just a
like it's creepy.
It's a terrifying looking thing,
and no store would sell that because again, why would you smash a baby with a bat or a stick?
I don't care if you're in Schitt's Creek, you're not. The dollar store is not going to sell that pinata.
Yeah, dollar store. Yeah. No,
no, he's going to manufacture that for sale.
Yes. Yeah, but they now this shortly right. after we see that baby, that's when they do discuss games that they're going to play.
Sure.
And they do talk about the diaper game, which is like a for real baby shower game.
No.
You didn't know that? Yeah.
I thought this was a joke.
No.
It sounds like a joke. This would sound like a joke that Roland delivers.
No.
And, oh my God, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
This is the biggest shock of the whole episode to me.
Yeah.
So people put candy bars
mm-hmm. and like melt
inside
it.
Of diapers.
Yeah.
And then you have to smell mm-hmm. and taste it.
I don't know that you taste it because that Roland would be gross.
Roland says you don't just smell it.
Yeah. But no.
And you have to identify the candy.
A for real thing that people, I don't know if they still do it. It's been a really long time. I haven't been in a baby shower that recently, but I've never done this at a shower. But I do think that people.
Well, you know what? This. I am on board with David when he says I'll literally do anything to not play that game.
Yeah, it's super gross. Yeah,
that's crazy that's a real game.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All mm-hmm. right. So this is a whole disaster going on at Jocelyn's.
Well, right. David is looking around. He really wants a nice aesthetic appeal. Yeah. He wants to move a vase, which actually is Grandpa Schitt's urn. And it has his ashes
but
in
but it's
it.
Bolted down because there's been urn thefts lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
so
Roland's like, I'll just get a ratchet set and we'll figure it out.
And he hands David the baby and the pinata, and David is literally holding it almost like it's hugging him in a really creepy sort of way.
Yeah.
Yes.
And David, and we talked about this. I don't think we talked about this. Maybe we talked about it on the podcast. David gets two F-bombs to drop in this episode. Mm-hmm. Because he doesn't know, what does he say? Where the fuck do I put this?
Yeah.
To the baby pinata. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, for a while they did one per episode. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time I think I've heard two in an episode.
Yeah.
Especially two by the same character.
It does seem like it kind of like starts to, you know, language starts to mm-hmm. become more of a factor.
Yeah. Although who knows when we talked about that. Maybe it's in an episode that some people haven't heard yet.
It could be. Yes.
So now let's go back
to Madly.
Madly and Moira meets a total silver fox now.
Oh, yeah. Renee.
Yes.
Super handsome. On the younger end of the mm-hmm. old crowd, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, he's in advertising sales and he can still drive at night.
Yeah. Which, that's a very, like, clever line. If you're, yeah. if you're, and also at the end of this, and I don't want to jump ahead to, do these people just always get together?
Oh, it sounds like it.
So it's the same crew mm-hmm. each and every time this event is held.
Yeah.
And these two are just like, you know, thrown in the, I almost said a shark's nest. That's not where sharks live. What? In the shark tank. Uh-huh. These two are like, oh, here's a couple pieces of fresh meat mm-hmm. for us to all, you know,
yeah.
bother, I guess.
But Moira clearly wants her key to match with
yes.
him.
Yes, she's really trying. Oh, let's talk about this guy real quick. Yeah. His name is Rene, which is a great name for a guy. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I don't hear that a whole lot. Mm-hmm. His name is Rob Stewart. Over 100 credits to his name on IMDb since the mid-80s mm-hmm. When he was in an episode of the Alfred Hitchcock Presents reboot. Some we know, and I don't know if we... Have we talked about the show Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist? Or did I just like that title so much I decided
know.
To include
yeah,
it? Okay.
I'm not sure.
But he's also been in Killjoy's Designated Survivor, Saving Hope, Suits, Dark Matter, Nikita, Flashpoint, and Lost Girl. But this guy, like, he did it all. Just go mm-hmm. through his thing. And what he does now is apparently a lot of Hallmark Lifetime movies.
Oh.
So I assume, like, if a character needs a hot dad or something, he is instantly cast.
Uh-huh.
So Moira, I love how Moira's, like, breaking the key
right.
to, like, get it into the lock.
Yeah.
And they become stuck together.
Yeah.
And now it's kind of like Johnny's turn to be a little jealous.
Uh-huh.
And even Ricky comes over mm-hmm. and is like, well, did you? And Moira's blaming the cheap locks
yes.
and keys
yeah.
for this whole.
But we basically find out that she's tried everybody else.
Yes.
And the one person she didn't try was the widower that she talked to before. And then they show him,
yeah.
you know, kind of yeah. smiling at her.
Yeah. Or single number one. If
yeah.
you want to call him single number one, that's
yes.
totally fine. But yeah, this is where Moira realizes that they were, she was
right.
a true match with that guy.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, they're done. Charlene is hammered at this point. Johnny's ready to go.
Yeah.
And Moira's ready to go as well.
And Ricky asks Renee to take Shirley, to give Shirley a ride home. He said,
oh, does she call her Shirley?
I don't know. I'm almost positive. I thought she said Shirley, but it would make sense that it's Charlene.
Right.
But I really thought I heard Shirley, but maybe
Ricky's been having a few cocktails as well.
Yeah, I don't know why, but it really sounded like Shirley to me.
Okay. So now there's something so... And we talk about camera work sometimes, and mm-hmm. we talk about the way things look. I didn't think about this while I was watching it, but maybe the fact that this didn't take place at the motel at all was completely intentional.
Because mm-hmm.
when we see the motel, it's very cinematic. Alexis is the only one there.
Mm-hmm.
The camera follows her through both
right,
rooms.
As she's looking, because she's like, I'm ready to head out. And
yeah.
she's sitting there. She's looking at Claire's card mm-hmm. that she gave her. She calls to the family. And then, yeah, we watch the camera follows her as she goes into Johnny and Moira's room.
Yeah.
They're not there. David isn't there. She's completely and totally alone, which
yes.
doesn't happen a lot.
No.
We never see people alone. Like, they may be alone in a room, but then somebody wanders in.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, we don't get to just spend, like, this reminded me almost of when David was alone in his big empty store before he opened it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just alone with his own thoughts
mm-hmm.
and like, did I make a huge mistake here? And you can almost, you know, assume that that's what she's thinking about now. Like, do I really want to take this opportunity to leave and to get out of here?
Right.
Should I stay? She's not sure.
Yeah.
But on her way out, she sees that her...
There's a little package on
yeah,
the doorstep.
I guess they're her business cards
they
and
are.
Other things.
There, it's
like
AR Communications.
Right, right. No, but
yeah,
I saw the
so
business card,
Alexis
but then
Ruse.
Other stuff was in the box.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure what that was.
Mm-hmm.
So she then is off to the bar.
Yeah.
She's got some stuff to think about.
Yep.
But now let's go back, because this Sprinkle is in full swing
oh, yeah.
now.
They're ready to play Sleepy Mommy.
Sleepy Mommy, where Jocelyn is seated on a couch. And they are to take turns trying to throw mints.
Right. Because they couldn't get actual benzos.
Right. They Yes, into her mouth. And the winner gets what's left of the soft cheese table. Right. So the soft cheese actually did make its way to Jocelyn's house, mm-hmm. which I think is great.
Yeah. So Johnny and Roland are having a great time.
They really...
Like they're talking about, well, this one is in her bangs and this one went here and does this count?
Yeah.
And...
Do I get points for the ones in her bangs and everything? Yeah. And yeah, they're actually having a really good time playing this game. And I always find it fun when Roland and Johnny can not be completely annoyed with each other for at least a moment and just sort of play this game. And Moira notices that the game appears to be somewhat familiar, and David lets her know that she's the one who invented it.
When they were kids.
Right.
And they got...
She's like, I can't remember this
game. And he's like, well, yeah, we got... It's because we got really good at it. He said Alexis could make it in from the whole way across the room.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So now let's go to, you know the name of the bar.
The Wobbly Elm.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So we've been here a couple times now. I can't believe the amount of times we've been to this bar this season. This has to be the third.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So Alexis shows up and sort of pulls Claire away from her horrible friends.
Well, they're having a conversation about Mexico and Tulum versus Cabo.
Okay.
And where's like the cool place to vacation.
They're going to drive their streamline right there.
Yeah.
And... she lets Claire know that, you know, she appreciates the offer, appreciates the job offer, certainly, but it's just not for her. Mm-hmm. You know, she's going to try and strike out on her own. She's going to try and, you know, she's really been working for something. And Claire's response is, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right,
wait, hold on. What are you talking about?
Right.
And she's even like, you know, the PR thing. And Claire even laughs and is like, oh, my God. Okay, yes. Because I was even like, what are you talking about? It's it's such a bizarre, like, because it doesn't mean anything. Like, it's very clear that nothing means anything. Mm-hmm. Like, none of this is genuine. That job might not even be real. Albany might be working, but are any of them really working? Like,
this is
just a job in title alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really, I think it's a really nice way that this ends, just because of the fact that they're having the same conversation, but it means two very different things.
Right. Well, yeah, she invites her to stay and hang out with them because they have somebody's black card, I think they referenced it as, and they're doing shots for Albany's birthday.
Right, yes. She's going to be fired later.
Right, maybe. But now probably not. Who knows?
Who knows? Right. She wouldn't remember to fire her.
No.
And it's really like a thing where like, oh, we haven't seen each other in so long.
Yeah, it was really good to see you.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and Alexis, I guess, starts by saying that. And Claire's like, oh, it's been too long. Mm-hmm. We can't let that happen again.
Yeah. We can't let, I think it's important the way it's phrased, we can't let this happen again. Mm. And Alexis is like, we won't.
It won't.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
Because again, like for Claire, this is nothing, you know, for Claire, this is just running into someone that she used to know that was part of her old life.
Right.
That, you know, she's not genuine about, you know, reconnecting with her at all. And
well, right. And Alexis knows that. And Alexis says, well, I'm going to get going. I have somewhere that I need to be.
I think
she
says a baby thing.
I don't know. She might have. I don't even remember. Say that, but yeah.
But yeah, it's a really nice way to end it and a nice way for, like I said, us to see what her life used to be like and see who she really used to be.
And for her to not want to go back to that.
Put this to bed.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like she finally had her moment like Johnny and Moira did with the couple out to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, David did with Sebastian Rain. Mm-hmm. Like she finally gets her moment to put her old life to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's how it ends, which is crazy that it ends just with Alexis alone at this bar.
Right. With her
the episode.
Friends.
I don't normally look into trivia because IMDb trivia is so stupid for the most part. But I like how on IMDb somebody wrote this episode could be subtitled the Oh My God episode Claire says, oh my God, 10 times. Alexa says it 5 times. And David says it once. And Jocelyn says, oh my goodness, at the beginning. And then, oh my gosh, later on. So David West Reed really, you know, reusing phrases, I guess, when he's writing.
Yeah. Wow, this is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best of the best to the least best of the best. So, Carla, if this episode were an old friend, would it be Claire or Albany? I don't know which one's worse.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know either. Albany seems like the victim.
Right.
Yes. So maybe she's a little better.
We're only hearing Claire's side of the story here. Yeah. We're not getting anything from Albany's perspective.
Yeah.
I will give you your list. Remember, 2 fingers to scroll through.
Oh, that again. Yeah. I am going to make this my new number 11.
Wow, just missing the top 10.
Yeah, I like this one. Okay. I think it's fun. I like, I like Alexis's little friends. They're super funny. The baby shower stuff I kind of like, or the baby sprinkle. Sorry, the baby sprinkle stuff is funny. Yeah. David trying to plan it and everything. Madly's not like my favorite, but it's such a small part that I feel like, you know, but it is cute. There are certain cute little parts about that too. So yeah, I like this episode.
And I thought you might think I'm crazy for ranking it so high. It's my new number 12.
Oh.
Yeah. So we're right in agreement because this is one where, and we've talked about this before, you give me the title Baby Sprinkle. I'm not really into it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that it's the worst part of the episode or that it's bad at all, but that's nothing I remember really liking. But all the stuff with Alexis's friends, I think is fantastic. I kind of liked getting Johnny and Moira out there and just like interacting with, I don't want to say other people their own age, but just getting this other like weird little part of, I'm assuming this is Elmdale, that we like were unaware of and didn't know that this happens. I know I joked about Ted dancing with the old ladies, but that was another thing where I was like, oh, there's other stuff that goes on in this town. Right. It's not just about these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super fun episode. Mm-hmm. I think it was really great. So next time we're going to go back to our regular schedule. If you did listen to our special Christmas episode last week, we're back to an every other week schedule, drop date, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And next time we'll be discussing the 11th episode of season 4, The Rollout. So until then, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Yeah, happy new year and warmest regards.